Would you take a moment and turn in your Bibles to 3 John? 3 John. Third John, we're going to be looking at chapter 1, verse 13. And let's look down together. I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink. And he goes on to talk about how he wants to come together. And that is the title of this message, is the gift of togetherness. And that is the theme of this conclusion. I thought about passing over this. You know, sometimes we get to these farewells and we think, well, that's not quite as relevant. But, you know, this is really one of the most practical aspects of this entire letter to the church, is coming together personally and face to face. I do believe, because of the amazing technological revolution we've all witnessed, you know, togetherness is really, it is more optional than in maybe in any other time in history. You know, as Christians and specifically in the church, one of the great, great purposes of the church was to give the believer not just the opportunity, but really, if you look at the scripture, it comes down to, it's really a mandate to come together. You might call it a command. The writer of Hebrews, he said, you know, and let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And imagine that, you know, the day of his returning is even nearer now than it was then. But do you get the feel that the writer is giving us, really, it's somewhat of a command, you know, that we are to come together. Is, I don't think it just applies to a church. I think that getting together and coming together is important in every Christian, every believing relationship. So this isn't just in our relationship with the church. Now, I will say that I think that technology has given us what I would just say is a wonderful opportunity to communicate, to be a part of something, even when we are on the other side of the world, and that can be actually a real blessing, especially maybe sometimes you can't be here, you know, because you're sick, or sometimes there's weather like this going on, and so you get in, you know, live stream, and it's fantastic that you can actually visit with a family member or a friend, literally, you know, using the face-to-face technology. But it's not the same as coming together in person. Nothing can replace the fellowship that we have with each other, being in the same place at the same time. In this farewell section of John's letter, he closes by saying, there is so much more I could write. There is a lot I could text. I could continue to email. Let's keep up the online meetings. Okay, so I'm bringing John just a little bit forward now into our current day, right, with technology, because this is how we communicate now. But he said this. He said, I want to see you in person. I want to be with you. I want to see you face to face. God desires for our relationships to be personal. God designed us in such a way that nothing can take the place of being personally together. Another word for togetherness, and you recognize this word, is it's the word fellowship. Now, we all have heard of fellowship. In fact, John, in his first letter to the church, he wrote, that which we have seen and we have heard, we declare to you, that you also may have what? Fellowship. Fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship. And this is, to me, is the most exciting part of this passage, and coming together for that matter, is that our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So I want you to think of this togetherness, or this fellowship, not just in terms of, well, you know, I gotta go to church and, you know, I'm gonna meet and be with other people. You need to think of togetherness and fellowship in the context of when we are together, when we are with each other in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The Word of God says he's right here in the midst of us. I'll tell you what, the rain doesn't stop Jesus. When you come and you're here, he's here with us. And he said, you know, you may be few, but you are strong. You know, I mean, when he surrounds us. And isn't that just a wonderful reality, this togetherness? And in fact, it is what is unique to fellowship. It's what makes being together, I think, such a wonderful gift. And it's not that we don't like each other. I think it's wonderful that we do love each other. I mean, but there's something so special about the togetherness that is around our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why we do read that Jesus said in Matthew's gospel, he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, where is he? He's in the midst. He is here and he is with us. How many of you have read that loneliness is at an epidemic in our society today? There have been more loneliness stories than I've ever seen, more articles about loneliness. May 2023 headline, NPR headline, America has a loneliness epidemic. And you begin to ask yourself and you say, you know, well, now, you know, we've never been more electronically connected in any point in history. We are so connected electronically through the internet and through communication and modern telecommunication and cell phones. There's never been anything like it. And yet in this day and in this age, people are lonely more than ever before. And you say, well, why is that? I believe the answer is because, you know, we're electronically connected maybe more than ever before, but that electronic connection has become a substitute for personal interaction. And there lies the problem. You cannot have fellowship through communication electronically in the same way that you have fellowship when you come together with other believers. John, he wrote that he wanted to be, you know, it's not that he we don't appreciate that he was connected through pen and paper. In fact, that's why we have the letters to the churches. It's wonderful that they wrote those letters, but he said, you know, there just comes a place where I want to be with you and I want to spend time with you. He said, basically, you know, it's great to write to you, but, you know, to be with you is so much better. In fact, he wrote in the last letter, 2 John, he said, it's really so that our joy might be full. The problem, he said, the problem in our day is that we basically have become apathetic about being together. Why should I make the effort to get up? Why should I leave the comfort of where I live? Why should I walk out the door? Why should I get into the crazy traffic? You know, why is it that I've got to walk up your sidewalk, you know, and I've got to put in the effort to press the doorbell, you know? And you know, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of effort. And why should I go to so much effort when I can just send you a text message? That's not fellowship. Not only that, texting, you know, I mean, yeah, it's so much easier, but here's the problem. When we get into all this electronic communication, you know what happens? We're so able to disguise how we really feel. Have you ever noticed that? How many of you are habitual LOLers? Every few words is an LOL. I like LOL, but I like it in person because then it is real. Because what happens is you can wake up on the wrong side of the bed, you're having a horrible morning, you're in a bad mood, and you send out a text and you say LOL. Guess what? You're lying. You're not laughing. In fact, maybe you feel like crying. But you say LOL. We can actually hide behind technology. I call it the technology mask. In fact, you know, it just really enables us to mask our true emotional, our spiritual condition. You know, we can look happy when we're not. We can portray an impression of the, you know, we're okay when we're really not. Let's bring it into church. Why should I go to church? Is physically going to church that relevant? Is going to church that relevant? Because we do have the ability, you know, to stream, to get online. My question to you is, when we do that, Are we, in a sense, are we forsaking the assembling of ourselves together? But you say, but it's so easy, you know, I can just kind of roll out of bed, I can stay in my slippers, I can get into my robe, and I can watch it online. That's taking place all over America right now as we speak. We're missing something. There's another problem with our instant communication, and it's something like this. It's the problem with, what did they mean by that? It's impossible to communicate a tone, a voice, or a facial expression. So, you know, instant messaging, I mean, it's so susceptible to I don't know how many misunderstandings I've had through text messages. Because a message looks a certain way, and unless you're in person, unless you're there, unless you see the person, unless you're with them, you can misunderstand a message. You can misunderstand its brevity. You can think somebody's mad at you and they're not. And I've experienced this so many times. And the problem is that we're really missing out on the most important aspects of life because our face-to-face communication has been hijacked by technology. We're missing out. We've replaced time together with texting, with email, with Facebook, you name it. John is saying that, you know, he wanted to forego the formal means of communication of that day so that he could have that one-on-one together. And he wanted to replace that with that face-to-face visit. John didn't say that writing letters was of no value. He's just admitting that simple fact that nothing is like being together. I have a very good pastor friend, and we text all the time. You'll have to excuse me. I've been losing my voice this past week, so I've got to take it easy. If I lose my voice, I'll text you the rest of the message. I'll email it to you. But this pastor friend, he sends me these scripture verses almost on a daily basis, and I actually really love that. That's something I do love about technology. And so he sends me, and we have discussions over text, you know, about, and it's like he lives way up in North Texas, so I can't be with him. And so I think there's some wonderful things, but here's the bottom line. Relationships require something that technology can't give, and that is simply this. People need to be with people. That is what John is writing about. John is writing that meaningful relationships in the church, and I'm not talking about socializing, I'm not talking about partying, I'm not just talking about hanging out, but at the heart of this verse is being in relationships in the church that grow and develop as we take time to be together personally. I want you to think just for a moment what that means for John. John said, there is much I'd like to say, but I want to see you face to face. I wish we could play a video of what it took for John to see the church face to face. How far did John have to travel? What mode of transportation was involved? How long did it take? What were the hazards along the way? How did he eat? Where did he sleep? I mean, we live about an hour and 20 minutes from the church, and sometimes people come up and say, you know, you live so far, it's a long drive. And I think, yeah, air conditioned, power steering, comfortable seats, cruise control. It's nothing. I mean, I'm just so thankful that I'm not walking. Yeah, because then I'd have to start like last month, you know, to get here for this communion service. But what did John have to go through to be together with those in the early church? I don't think we know just by reading this letter, but we can assume a great deal by reading what Paul wrote. Paul said, you know, three times I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned, three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, he's talking about the journeys. He's talking about what it took to get from point A to point B. He said, in perils of waters, in peril. Well, there's some perils of waters out there right now, okay? In perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils of false brethren, in weariness and toil and sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst and fastings often, and cold and nakedness. He said, besides the other things that which comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. You look at this and you go, you know, that's what it took. That is what was involved. If you wanted to go see the brethren, that's what you went through. Imagine to be together meant travel where the journeys are just like what Paul described here. I've never been through anything like that. The probably the closest I would say I've been is I think that maybe some of the trips to India. You couldn't go, some villages, you know, back in the mountain villages, you had to take little trails, you had to hike, and man, it was hot. I'm telling you, you'd get there and you were absolutely drenched, at least I was. I was drenched with sweat. I felt like those around me were used to it. But it was difficult. But this was daily life for them. On top of it, it's been said that John was in his 90s. How many of you are in your 90s here? I don't see anybody raising their hand. But I'll tell you what, ever since I got into my 40s, travel's just not the same. I have found that everything you do physically after a certain age gets just to be a little bit more difficult, and I'm nowhere close to 90. And so you have to imagine, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, many of you, you've heard him, you know, the country-sounding preacher many years ago. And his wife asked him one day, she said, Joan, why do you walk now, you know, so hunched over, you know? And, you know, you used to be so standing erect and straight and good posture. And he said, I guess because it feels comfortable this way. And isn't that true? You know, as you get older, you know, you have to make some changes in order just to feel comfortable. And I think that was what John carried with him. He was no different than us. He had the same aches and pains and the hurts when he got older. And he said, but I'm going to come and I'm going to see you. I'd like to leave you with just a few principles. I think they're good takeaways from this short passage. Number one, relationships that are vital to life, our Christian life. For the believer, it begins with one of the most important relationships, of course, the most important relationship, and that is our relationship with Jesus. It's been said that Christianity isn't a religion. It is a what? It's a relationship. Your relationship with Jesus defines the relationships that you establish as a Christian. If your relationship with Jesus is not right, your relationships with others will not be right. You must first have that right relationship with Jesus. In John's first letter, he reminds us that believers are to have fellowship with other believers and that we can't have meaningful fellowship with unbelievers. He said, what fellowship can light have with darkness? That's not to say we ignore unbelievers. I do believe we need to develop relationships with unbelievers, but we should be the salt and the light in their life. And that's how the Bible describes the believer. But our fellowship is with each other. The relationships are extremely important to the vitality of the Christian life, number one. And that's number two, is that relationships require some effort on our part. John put down the pen and the paper. He put down, if it was you, you know, you're going to have to put down your cell phone, so to speak, or your text messaging, your instant messaging, and all that we do. And he's saying, essentially, I'm going to go beyond that convenient mode of communication, and I'm going to make an effort to spend time with you. I don't think it means just showing up at church and saying hi. But you know, that is what church has become for so many. It's casual. It's hey, how are you? There's no depth. There is no meaning. I think what John is talking about is when he said, I want to see you face to face. My understanding of this is he said, you know, when I see you, I really want to have real and genuine fellowship around Jesus Christ. It's not just talking about the weather or the sports or whatever is going on personally in your life. There is to be an element of actually being together around the person of Jesus Christ. And number three, relationships are fulfilling. They bring joy that would otherwise be missed without the relationship. Second John, he ended his letter very similar to this. He said, but I hope to come to you, speak to you face to face. And what did he say? That our joy may be full. And I like to think of joy like a glass of water. You know, I think when we come together, like when we're texting and we're doing instant messaging and Facebook and all that, and you know, stuff, it's like a glass of water half full of joy. But it doesn't really quench the thirst. It's when we come together that the glass is full, and he said that your joy may be full. Let me give you an example because he's here this morning. This is Mark down here. Mark, I decided to point you out just to embarrass you. Mark used to be a part of the fellowship here years ago. In fact, I had the wonderful pleasure of marrying Mark and his wife, Alex. And it was just wonderful to watch them come together. But they've moved on, you know, years ago. Haven't seen him for many years. But it was such a blessing. He came and he spent some time with us this past week with my son, Andrew. But what was really special, Mark, I noticed like last night, you know, we went out to dinner together. Hadn't seen Mark in years. That conversation was so different, and Mark will say the same. It was so different than our text messages. It was so different than calling on the phone. There was seeing the facial expressions, and there was, when you talk about the Lord, there's the sense of joy on another person's face, and it was just, it was like, well, the Lord's right here with us. And I think when God is in the midst, when we're, you know, come together as believers, it's like so often the conversation is going to turn to those things that we're passionate about, which is our Lord. And that's fellowship. I do believe this. I don't know how you are about people. I think some of you are people. I'm not. I'm not a people person necessarily outside of Jesus Christ. I walked out the door, I guess it was yesterday, I'm going down the sidewalk, and there along the fence, there was a turtle. He had his head out, and as I got closer to that turtle, he poked his little head, his little turtle head, right into the shell. And so I just stood nice and quiet, and pretty soon the little turtle head came out again. And he looks at me, and I move towards the gate, and the head goes back into the shell. And I thought to myself, that reminds me of me. That's how it is with me. When I get around, you know, it's like, you know, I just sometimes with people, you just kind of want to pull into your shell. And sometimes that's just our disposition, that is our personalities, and it really takes an act of obedience for us to reach out and to spend time with other people and to establish those meaningful relationships. And some of it's our background. I talked to my dad on the phone here, this is a number of years ago, and I asked him about the different places he had lived, and he, you know, my dad's never lived anywhere in a city ever. He's always lived the rural life. I said, well, Dad, what was your favorite place that you ever lived? And he said, well, he said, I think it was that ranch. You know, that one is 90 miles from town. And the last 30 miles was a dirt road. And he said, if anybody ever showed up out there, it was only because they were lost. And by the way, I grew up part of my life on that ranch, and I thought, you know, the acorn fell not far from the tree. Because we are, to some extent, we are a product of our upbringing, how we come up. And some of us, we've grown up in remote circumstances, and we should not be ashamed if that carries over into our life. But something changes when we become the new creation in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit comes in, and he gives us a desire for fellowship with each other. In fact, I would go as far as to say, if we don't want it, there's a problem. If we don't want to be around other believers, if we don't want to come together, if we don't want fellowship, it indicates that there's something lacking in the spiritual life, because we are a product then of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I don't think the Holy Spirit will permit us to isolate ourselves from other believers without some strong conviction. And I think it's a wonderful gift we come together. Not long after Dilling and I moved from Montana to Southern California, you've heard me talk about Floyd. And he invited me to go to dinner with his business partners, and little did I know that it was the beginning of probably the most important relationship that I've ever entered into through the Lord. Well, I got to put Delene above that. You know, my wife. But Floyd, God brought him into my life, and part of the reason was, is God wanted me, my little turtle head, to come out of that shell that I've been living in. And Floyd was persistent. He persisted in bringing me out and getting me involved and showing me what it was like to be in ministry and to be around people and to minister to others. And you know, as you know, he's gone home to be with the Lord. But I liken that relationship very much to what Paul and Timothy had. And Paul wrote to the Philippians, he said, but you know Timothy. He said, you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. And these are the relationships that we need within the church. We need these relationships that draw us out of ourselves and draw us into the very work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I tell you, God wants those relationships. And they happen when we come together. We cannot isolate ourselves. We cannot have those relationships if we're always, you know, streaming. What kind of relationship are you going to build through a streaming televised service? Zero. You need to be here. Now, I'm not just talking about in church. I'm referring to with other believers. You need to make that effort. I consider fellowship, togetherness, it is a most wonderful gift. And I'm thankful that God, through his Holy Spirit, wants to draw us to each other, to love each other, to give to each other, to bless each other, to sacrifice for each other, to minister to each other, to spend time together. Listen, I don't believe any believer should ever be lonely. I'm not saying they're not lonely moments, but we should not have a life of loneliness. Because it begins with, what a friend I have in Jesus. I'm never alone. We were talking, Mark and I, last night, I said, you know, we were talking about the number of miles I drive, and I think he drives a few miles too. And I've shared with you before on all those miles, you know, most of the time I don't have a radio on. And I'm not listening to a lot of noise, because we are living in a noise-polluted, distracted society that keeps us from that most important friendship. It acts as an obstacle to what a friend we have in Jesus. We need to take time of quietness. We need to take time alone with the Lord. Jesus was the example. He was with the disciples. He had fellowship, and yet he went off and he spent time alone with the Father. I'll tell you, we need some of that alone time with the Lord. We have a friend in Jesus. But then he says, you know, don't stay alone. Go out and be with other believers. Spend time together. Love each other. That's how they will know that you are my disciples, is when you love one another. The gift of togetherness. And Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. It's a lamp unto our feet. It's a light unto our path. It gives us the way to go. And I pray that our hearts would be just absolutely infected with the truth and the importance of fellowship. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's not a lot of us here today, but I do have to ask this question. I'm just curious, are there any other turtles other than myself here this morning? Yeah, we got some turtles, yes. Yeah. What's that? Are they all men? Actually, I think they were, now that I think about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I get in my 10,000 words in my sleep, probably. But yes, and I do want to say to those of you who are turtles, I don't want you to feel unnecessarily convicted by this, that, well, if I don't, you know, go and be around everybody, that, you know, there's something wrong with me, because that's not what this is about. Because some just gravitate towards social activity, and that's not what John is writing about. I don't believe he had in mind that he just come and socialize and just visit. I think that when you look at the context of this letter and you say, you know, well, there's so-and-so, you know, that are doing this, and I'm going to have to deal with them when I come. I think he really saw it as an important part of church, the maturity of the church and the growth of believers. And ultimately, our fellowship and our togetherness, that is part of the goal, is that iron sharpens iron. We need togetherness. And it's not so much about how often, as much as it is about what happens when we do. I can point at Al back there. He's a turtle. We both belong to the Turtle Club. There's others of you that are Chris, another turtle. But I've gotten together with these guys one-on-one. And you know, there's beautiful fellowship. And I think that, you know, it is about what happens when you come together. What is your conversation? What takes place when the Lord draws two believers together and just says, you know, my blessing is on this relationship, and just spend time and let the Spirit fill your hearts and lives as you speak and as you share. So if you are the turtle, hey, listen, don't feel bad about that. It's okay. But I sure am thankful that, you know, just the wonderful relationships we have in Christ, and how special it is when we do get together. And so the Lord bless you and keep you in his love. The Lord minister to you this week through his word, through the Holy Spirit. May the Holy Spirit come upon you often. May you ask him for that. May your heart's desire be to say, oh, fill me, Lord. Fill me. Because Jesus said, you know, if a father would give his son bread, how much more would he give the Holy Spirit to those that ask him? Just ask. In Jesus' name, amen.